episode, recorded during the virtual meeting, Built Back Better, A Green and Sustainable Economic Recovery, Brian O'Callaghan, PhD candidate in economics from the Smith School for Enterprise and the Environment at the University of Oxford, presents findings and recommendations on policies that could help countries obtain a green economic recovery based on a recent study he co-authored titled, Will COVID-19 Fiscal Recovery Packages Accelerate or Retard Progress on Climate Change?
Hello, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, it's great to be with you, and a particular thanks to the PAL Americas team for the invitation to join today and to share perspectives here from Oxford. We're particularly representing the Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment. And today we're talking about long-term thinking in economic recovery policy, obviously with a focus on green recovery perspectives. You know, as per those generous introductions, in the last month, myself and my colleague Alex Clark, who will be following me, we've been deeply involved helping nations around the world shape their own economic recovery plans. And that work has manifest in a few different forms, including through assessment of how economists think about recovery policy, and then also in terms of doing some of that economic modeling ourselves. In terms of my background, I have degrees in engineering and finance, and I worked with the Asian Development Bank prior to joining the Boston Consulting Group, and now I'm here at the Smith School. I do need to apologize that our slides are all in English, but I will right now post a link in the chat, or perhaps one of the presenting PAL Americas team can post a link in the chat to the Spanish version of our paper, or an abbreviated version. Now, to get straight into it, in many policy circles, there's a dangerous climate misnomer. There's a preconception that climate positive spending necessarily comes at the cost of economic growth. In one of our most widely cited studies so far, we set out to prove that wrong. The paper itself was published in the Oxford Review of Economic Policy and co-authored with Nobel Prize winner Joseph Stiglitz and premier economists Cameron Hepburn, Nicholas Stern, and Dimitri Zingeles, names you probably know. What we demonstrated was that not only can climate positive government spending support the short-term economic recovery process, but also stand as a turning point for our economic system to take us from the status quo where growth is based on how much fossil fuel we use to one where growth is altogether decoupled from fossil fuels. So to show this, we took a three-part approach on screen. We first reviewed the green attributes or green characteristics of past stimulus policies with a database of over 400 different policies from the global financial crisis in 2009. We also reviewed past ex-post literature to understand what does and doesn't work in fiscal policy. And finally, we conducted an international survey of over 230 leading economists in 50 countries, including Brazil and Canada, Mexico, Ecuador, Argentina, quite a few from the Americas. And in terms of the policy, the survey respondents, we're talking about central bank governors and their staff, as well as finance ministers at that level. The results of the survey are summarized now on the screen, and this is the real money figure of our paper. Again, I'll post a link in the chat and you'll be able to see the same image in Spanish. It's the image that's been reprinted all over the press, and we've told even Prince Charles here in the UK has seen it. What it shows is that there's a set of recovery-type policies that governments, like those you represent, might be considering as a part of fiscal stimulus plans right now. It shows how those policies perform against climate impact metrics on the Y vertical axis, and economic impacts across the X horizontal axis. And the green box in the top right, that's the gold zone, the policies that bring both high economic impact and high climate impact. and I've bolded the ones that you've traditionally considered to be green. So in particular, we like policy T, clean infrastructure investments like solar, transmission infrastructure, utility scale batteries. We like policy Y, clean R&D spending. Policy S, connectivity infrastructure like public transport and broadband initiatives. And then also, interestingly, you'll note poor little policy E down here in the corner. That's unconditional airline bailouts, which performed the most negatively on every one of our metrics, the worst on economics and the worst on climate. And now, I mean, we cut this data every way you can imagine. We can talk about variation in low and middle income countries versus high income countries during the questions, but I might move on and we'll cover a little bit of that shortly. So three key findings from our work. First, there's a definite set of policies that deliver high economic and high climate impacts. Those are number 1 to 5 there. It overlaps with those that I just mentioned. Ones that are maybe of particular interest to some of the parliamentarians now, and I'll speak again in the later slides to this, but number 1, number 3, number 4. And why do I say that? Well, those have particular short-term job implications. And for many nations in the Americas, employment following COVID is going to be particularly critical. Now, also, I just wanted to briefly note a couple of the other findings. We note in the paper that there's not just a climate and economic benefit associated with these policies. There are other co-benefits as well. Talking about inequality co-benefits, you're talking about gender co-benefits. If these policies are well designed, you can get that too. One a really good example, I think, was announced earlier this week in the United Kingdom, right here, where home retrofit subsidies have been targeted to low-income households. So not only are you getting a win for the climate, not only are you getting a win for your economy, but you're also helping to reduce household inequality. And the final policy recommendation on the screen is going to be no surprise to anyone on this call. It's that the devil is in the detail when it comes to green policy design. And that detail, that's what we've been looking at since we published this study almost a month and a half ago now. And so since then, what we've been doing, we've spent time exploring issues of just transition, how you can prioritize inequality, how you can prioritize some of those gender issues. And we're also taking more specific views at individual countries and even individual regions to quantify what an economic multiplier might be and what a job multiplier might be. So are the Americas unique? And if so, how? Well, yes, they are, and also no, they're not. They're not unique in that green policies in the Americas are just as appealing on the economic grounds as they are in other nations. It's the same overall story. There are, of course, a few unique characteristics that we can discuss further during the discussion period, and I've put a few briefly on the screen now. Of course, big caveat, there are many nations in the Americas region, but these trends generally seem to hold. First, from Canada to the Caribbean to Brazil, clean energy resources are abundant. Compared to nations, for example, here in Europe, most nations in the Americas are exceptionally well-placed to make progress in renewable energy in a big way following from the COVID crisis. Second, in the middle, many economies in Latin America and the Caribbean in particular have proven to have employment bases particularly vulnerable to economic shock. What that means is that green policies with the highest short-term employment multipliers are probably a little bit more likely to be prioritized. And so there, the two key options that often come up are natural capital solutions, which is to do with ecosystems, green spaces, planting trees even, and green renovation solutions as well. Those are exciting in terms of employment because the skills requirements are very low. It takes a very short period of time to train people to enter those jobs. And then finally, one of the inescapable realities, particularly in Latin America, is that fiscal space is sometimes quite low. And there's not that much capital available to be spending on fiscal stimulus. What that means is that what little funds are available or what funds can be garnered from international multilaterals or development banks, that funding or that capital needs to be very intentionally used. It needs to be focused on the long term. It needs to be focused on getting big social and big environmental benefits. Again, lots of things that make the Americas unique that we can speak about a little bit more in the discussion. For now, I'll move on and talk about how we here at the University of Oxford have been helping nations and policymakers from various countries and how we might be able to help you and some of the governments that you represent. So broadly speaking, we've been involved with direct high-level advisory, these types of conversations, conversations direct with ministers and their staff, trying to articulate exactly how these policies can perform well on economic grounds. We've also been involved developing a number of parliamentary submissions, and Alex will briefly, in a few minutes, speak to one parliamentary submission that we did for Spain. And then what we've also been starting to do in the last few weeks only is deep dives at the national and subnational, provincial, let's say, level into what green job multipliers and green economic multipliers look like. And that's something that we're also looking to explore in the Americas. So if you do have any interest in any of those spaces, please feel free to reach out.